is lavish for a tent. I'm the doctor. These are my new best friends, Ryan, Graham and Yaz. Now. Ah, see, hologram. Thought it might be. Good one, though. I love a good hologram. I was a hologram once, for 3 weeks. The gossip I picked up. What are you? Projection reality or AI interface? Because if you're interface, those are excellent nose hairs.
Who are these people? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the TARDIS Blend. Today, we are looking at the Ghost Monument, second episode of the new season of Doctor Who. My name is Greg Davies.
My name is Tom Sheridar.
And first and foremost, I want to thank you all for your patience. Transmat Trev left a nice comment for me over at geeksofdoom.com. We'll get to that later in the show. So we are going to talk about the second episode of the new season of Doctor Who, but there's a subject that I think we need to address before we get into it, Tom, because it counts for the first episode and the second, and I feel we really neglected not talking about it on the last show, and that is the quality of the cinematography in these episodes so far.
Oh, I definitely would have hit it this week.
Yeah, this is...
it was undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, just the sweeping camera moves, the lighting... It's just absolutely gorgeous. I'm not saying it's better than the Moffat era or Russell T. Davies, but I think this is the first time we've seen this, and a lot of it's got to be coming from the cinematic techniques that Chibnall adopted for, what's it called, Black Church? Broadchurch. So, yeah, it's... we needed to mention that because in all of the episodes so far... yes, we definitely need to have a big thumbs up to that. Now, just a little couple of things before we dive into our ratings and discussing.
Well, hold on. If we're going to do that and we're going to go all revisionist, can we talk? We spend a moment here discussing the incredible way that this season is being scored.
Well, yes, let's do that in just a sec. But I want to mention to people that, yes, we are behind in recording episodes. So this episode is going up late. So when you're hearing this, our episode review for Rosa will be being posted the following day. So we'll be catching up this week, and then hopefully we'll be back on track tomorrow. But yes, Tom, the music's interesting because I feel it's definitely not like Murray Gold's kind of grand kind of John Williams leitmotiv approach. It feels like it's more like a modern take on the atmospheric kind of ambient sounds and music that they used in the classic series. And that's what I'm kind of feeling.
I definitely get that. It feels epic. I'm most excited, and this is really bad, that it no longer feels like the score is drowning out the dialogue, which I had the biggest problem with, so much so that I just stopped mentioning it when we would do TARDIS Blend episodes because it was so bothersome in the Moffat area. And it was also a big point of contention when I would say that to other Who fans because the score is good, but that doesn't mean anything if it's so dominant that I have to turn the volume up and down and up and down just to hear what the doctor said.
I do tend to remember, even though Gold is as bombastic as he is, I do have a feeling that we actually talked about this in one of the seasons of Matt Smith's where the mix, for some reason, wasn't coming across very well on British and American television.
So yeah, and again, not a bad thing, but this the new composer Segun Akinola, I don't know if I said that correctly.
I think you got it. Yeah,
He's pretty phenomenal. I see good things for him. It feels and enhances everything. We talked a lot about the cinematography, where to me, man, we should just get into the everything, because it just kind of links to everything and kind of enhances. It's that layer around everything that was good in this episode.
Well, let's transition from there into a related subject, the opening sequence. We finally got to see it for the first time with the Ghost Monument. Absolutely phenomenal. Easily the best opening sequence I think we've seen in a long time. It competes with Peter Capaldi's clock design that they had when they were doing his opening sequence. In terms of how exciting it is. But this just feels much more, I don't know, it feels like you get really sucked into the feeling of Doctor Who immediately with this particular opening sequence. And the show theme is great.
It feels like, this is kind of a commentary on most things I've seen stylistically from Chibnall. And the cast and all of the choices being made, there's definitely an attention to take care from what came before to kind of elevate it in a way that's not really going in a brand new direction, but is distinct enough, especially to new fans or fans that are not as familiar with the full breadth of Doctor Who. I don't know. It all works for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the Ghost Monument, second episode of the season, a continuing story from the beginning, in which both stories could have been called The Hunt for the TARDIS. I am giving this a 5 out of 5. It's about time. What a great episode. So original.
I think that if I could go back in time and watch episode 1 and 2 as one complete story,
right,
I think it would have been more fulfilling in some ways and less in others, but I would have given that first opening episode a 4 out of 5, because this episode to me just blew me out of the water.
Right.
5 out of 5.
Right. The setting, amazing. Planet of death, desolation.
The scope, Greg.
Yeah, the complete with killer water.
So that's why I said don't touch the water. Flesh-eating microbes, millions of them living in there. Toxic atmosphere, killer water. Very dangerous planet, Yaz.
Yeah, I did have some minor complaints, which we can go ahead and get those out of the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think. Again, this
so
is the second episode.
You said your rating was 5 out of 5, did you say?
5 out of 5.
Okay, so that's 10 out of 10, our first 10 out of 10 of the season.
It is. Mm. It is. I'm surprised the last one didn't go, because I was so pleased with it too. So the things that really stuck out at me, but it wasn't enough to really bring the rating down, because, I mean, those landscapes, I believe they shot this in South Africa.
They did, yes, indeed.
And I would also expect that, as a result, this is not the only footage we've seen from that planet. That's kind of tacking on to one of my biggest criticisms, is that if they had another 5 minutes to explore and really take greater advantage of where they were at, to world build. I feel like there was a little bit of a missed opportunity, but at the same time, I couldn't fully give myself over to that, because I felt like the pacing in this episode just worked so well. Like,
yeah.
It didn't feel like it was a dull moment, and even the other qualm that I had, because there were really only two, that we kind of saw Yaz get the shaft. Like, we're kind of running into this conundrum where we don't know if there's character overload. We got a lot of new characters.
Absolutely.
Got them all really quickly.
Right.
This time we had three kind of antagonists or supporting casts, and that meant one of the companions sort of got sacrificed. Now, they did do a little bit of character building.
Right. There was some character development, but it was mostly Ryan and Graham.
It felt cheap.
Well, the thing is that I'm gonna say this. This was one of the concerns I had about having three companions. Peter Davison's Doctor and the crew and the writers at the time ran into the same problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, history doesn't always repeat, but sometimes it does. And I think this is something that they're going to admit later on that was a big challenge to.
Yeah. So, and this has already been far different than what we were told it was going to be. We were told that it was going to be far more serialized in storytelling than it is, at least in episode two.
Mm-hmm.
We were also told to expect more of a clean break, which I don't feel like we've gotten. What we have done is seen a lot of obscurity and a lot of fresh reintroductions, which I think is a good segue into talking about what we loved about this episode even more than we've already done.
My favorite scene, I think, is let's not talk about my favorite scene just yet. I want to talk about something that you brought up on the last episode, and that is that, Tom, you were right. Tim Shaw's species, the Stenza. Oh, by the way, people, we do talk spoilers, just so you know. Tim Shaw's species, the Stenza, seem to be becoming a fixture for this season, because they were the species that invaded that that planet, and it actually leads me to think that you could also be right about us returning to this planet, because remember, the TARDIS is a time machine, and maybe the Doctor does something to save the people of that planet.
Also, it's beautiful. They did very well with the time that they had there in terms of the expanse of shots. I would also suspect strongly that they spent a lot of money on this. And they knew they were going to use some of this footage later on for other purposes in the story, which is why they probably didn't go all in with the eye candy.
You got a favorite scene?
I don't know, man. I really love that no guns. Guns never solve anything.
That was my favorite.
But
scene.
I also really just I love when 13 was kind of assessing this new holographic entity and commenting on the brilliance of his nosers.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I love
that. Yeah, the Call of Duty lesson was my favorite scene.
How about those death rags?
The remnants.
Those were so cool.
Yeah, and the visuals were outstanding.
Terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to point out, on your second viewing, you're going to see them everywhere on the episode. Mm-hmm. They are completely everywhere, like, or even right at the beginning. When they're walking through the desert, it's very, very carefully planned out. And it was an unexpected kind of monster to have. But just having it in the dark there with that final scene where they're trying to attack the Doctor and pals, man, that was an incredible scene.
Two things that really stuck out for me beyond just kind of atmosphere and character universe building. I love the amount of kooky, insane underground fringe technology that's run amok on this planet.
Right.
I love the way that they explored it, and that it does very much seem like they barely scratched the surface. I got a lot of, like, kind of since new Doctor Who began, that good sense of, like, the Doctor's moral compass coming, like, shining through even before she's really fully comfortable in her own, flesh and bones yet. But I don't know, man, the way that they reintroduced the TARDIS was brilliant to me.
My beautiful ghost monument. Hello, you. I've missed you. Yourself up. Very nice. I've lost my key. Sorry.
But it's an old police box.
Sort of. Not really.
You expect us all to fit inside there?
Yep.
At the same time.
Wanna try?
Okay.
Oh, word of warning. I left it in a bit of a mess. You've redecorated.
It's a spaceship.
And a time ship.
Gal.
Seriously.
This is proper awesome.
I thought maybe you didn't believe me that I'd get you home. I thought you didn't believe yourself for a second back there. Who, me? No. Never doubted. Don't know what you mean. Home then? You can get us there. Really? Start believing.
Yeah, right.
It felt new. I mean, we've seen all this stuff. Like, Greg, you've seen it at least, like, probably thousands of times now. For it to come through and come off where you're like, wow, is no easy task. Of course, we didn't get the bigger on the inside.
Well, there were references to it, but you didn't get exactly the exact line you wanted.
I think that was a good choice.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Yeah, I mean, Chibnall's trying to obviously make this his own. Separate from what Moffat had done, but at the same time, stay true to the legacy of the show. And I think that's really important. I mean, that set was beautiful. It was just amazing. The lighting was fantastic. I loved the console. Apparently, there's a dispenser on the console that, you can get some custard.
So, and a biscuit, yes.
Yeah. So, well, and there may be some fish fingers in there too, seeing as there's custard. So,
I love that it matches her new Sonic.
Yeah, it's almost like they had a mental connection doing that.
Did you realize? Because it wasn't until this episode that I realized, like, the entirety of the Sonic glows when it gets turned on.
Right. Yeah. It's a completely different model.
I don't know, man. This the TARDIS that we've seen, I can't say it's entirely different, but it feels less homely. It like less like a big giant mechanical library.
Well, that's also because this is a new Doctor. This is a new TARDIS. Yeah. We're getting used to it. That also relates to some of the criticisms that are floating around about all the episodes lately from some of the fans. You may remember last week I felt there was something off about some of the pacing of Jodie's lines. And, there's now a lot of people in the minority complaining about the pacing of the dialogue. But you know what? I got to thinking about it, and I seem to remember that a lot of people had the same complaints about Matt Smith in the beginning with The 11th Hour. And it's only after you go back and watch those episodes that you realize, well, that's just me. I'm just adjusting to a new Doctor.
You are.
Yeah.
Because I remember Matt Smith being even more motorbout at the beginning than we are used to with a Doctor.
Right.
And Jodie has her own kind of quirky, off-timed and yet always on the mark timing. To me, it works very well. I kind of like that it's a little uneven. And the reason I kind of like that unevenness is, to me, it portrays that the Doctor kind of lives inside of her own head, which is something I certainly can relate to. I think a lot of us can. Mm-hmm. And with her, she's most people who live in their head kind of mumble and they kind of look aloof. And then there's the other side of the coin where they just sort of have these giant, brilliant bursts that pop out, followed by under breaths and then quick assessments and moving on. And I see so much of that in this episode, and also in the last one.
Right. Yeah, I'm loving the series so far. Everything sounds good. Everything looks good. I'm sure we're going to come across some stinkers. You know, as Les Claypool from Primus once said, they can't all be zingers. But so far, I mean, they're hitting it out of the park.
Yeah. So I saw some criticisms online that I actually don't agree with at all. I think they're a benefit. Let's talk a little bit about the companions in this episode beyond just Yaz, which honestly, there wasn't enough of her to really comment on.
Right.
Between Ryan and Graham, there was a lot of people who were like, why aren't they really talking and why aren't they more upset about their Nan dying and this is really important to them.
They got thrown into an alien world.
They were sort of warped into space out of nowhere. Then they get to this planet and are told we have to compete to get our way off of here. They haven't had a moment to catch up. Now, the first instance on screen that we actually see them do so when they're about to jump on the ship and they're going to go out to sea, that's the first time that they have together alone. And they bring it up, immediately bring it up. And I thought that was good. That was, to me, it demonstrated like the kind of fulfillment that I was looking for out of her death.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I've got to say Bradley Walsh, who plays Graham, is easily my favorite out of the three so far. His performance has been absolutely stellar.
Kind of my favorite too.
He's doing such a good job. And it's so ironic too because there were a lot of there was a lot of going between different fans with different views about the diverse nature of the cast. And it's funny to me because from what I'm reading online, Graham seems to be the most popular character, the old white guy.
Yeah.
But I think the way they're handling it is wonderful. And there's some aspects about that we'll talk about on the next episode too, where it really comes to the forefront.
See, I cope myself by asking a question. If Grace was here, what would she say?
What'd you reckon?
Well, right now she'd be going, what's the matter with you? You're on another planet. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is. Right. I'm going to look out for you, son.
I'm not a kid.
Well, I was hoping you'd say I'm going to look out for you too.
You talk about this stuff way too much.
Mm-hmm. And you don't talk about it enough.
But I think I'm in agreement with you. I'm afraid Yaz's character development has had to suffer a little bit because we really needed to address those two and their relationship after the death of his Nan. You know, so I think there's going to be a bit of a catch up soon.
Yeah. But on the Graham thing, I almost feel like he's a more functional, resourceful, Wilf, where I get that little bit of that tone. And Wilf, for those who have had a brain for it, that would be, Donna Noble's grandfather.
Right. Yeah, it'd be good too if there has been people saying that too, by the way, Tom. I think we're going to see a lot of character development this season, and I think we're because I mean the most obvious thing is like what's going to come at the end is like he's going to call him Granddad. Come on, that's coming.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean.
So
you can see it hard. I don't really care though because of course he is, but he knows that. I think.
Yeah. So we've got a lot coming up. This episode, actually, by the way, was written by Chris Chibnall and also was directed by Mark Tonderoy. We also had guest stars Susan Lynch as Angstrom, Sean Dooley as Epso, who both did a fantastic job. And I absolutely loved Art Malik as Ilan, the hologram guy.
Yes, one with the attractive nose hairs.
Yes. And the last thing I want to mention is a little bit of Doctor Who continuity. I loved the little cameo appearance of the Doctor's Venusian Aikido skills, where she held him still. You know, I can't remember the last time we saw that, but it was probably with Peter Capaldi. But for the fans that don't know, Venusian Aikido was the Venus martial arts that John Pertwee's Doctor brought to the screen. And it's kind of been, it was his staple. And after he moved on and Tom Baker took over, it never really came back again until the new series. And only then in a couple of sequences. But that was really funny. And it was a nice tip of the hat to classic Doctor Who.
Speaking of classic Doctor Who, though.
Well, before we get there, there's one thing I want to bring up about this episode that made me think. Because you know I like to talk about the spoilers and the theories. And so right now we're kind of feeling our way through the new Doctor Who series. And there was a reference when the remnants were attacking the Doctor and her friends, where she was either called or they said something about the timeless child.
Yeah, that's actually exactly where I was going to go with that. I was like,
yeah, I wanted to say
we saw some intrigue and mystery.
Yeah,
it seemed like it was a lot of alluding to the Doctor being an orphan and not knowing even her own past,
or even another thing that we brought up, the fact that they call her the timeless child because the timeless child has been there before.
Interesting.
So that's something it's in her future, not her past. But it's in their past.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. But the way that clue was dropped, it gave me chills like Silence Will Fall or The Doctor in the TARDIS Doesn't Know. These little dialogue clues, and it may absolutely be nothing. It just might be something that's dropped in there that sounds good, and maybe they might come back to it later. But that's the fun of Doctor Who.
It's not confirmed either way, whether or not it's happened in her future or in her past.
So you wanted to talk classic Doctor Who. I've got a recommendation for you.
One more thing.
What up?
One more thing. We have to acknowledge the way that they handled the TARDIS, which looks markedly different than the last version.
Right. Actually, the exterior is very similar to Tom Baker's model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Since we don't have visuals, Greg, you correct me if I'm wrong. Darker blues.
Yep.
A different kind of police sign.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to be a bit wider, a bit more stout.
Yep, and the other thing is you may notice that the St. John's Ambulance symbol is no longer on the TARDIS.
I did notice that.
I think that was on the original TARDIS, and Moffat brought it back for Matt Smith. So, it's good to have change, but that was cool. All right, classic Doctor Who. Initially, I was going to go with Marco Polo because Marco Polo, that episode was traveling across the desert, but of course that's one of the missing episodes, so the only way fans are going to get a hold of that is to try and find the restored versions, probably on torrents and stuff like that, so it's pretty hard to find. So instead I'm going to recommend the episode The Keys of Marinus. It's a William Hartnell episode. It's the fifth serial of season one, so it's very early. The pacing is very slow, and some people may have some problems with it, but it plays out like a journey across the different worlds, different places to solve a problem. And it just kind of reminded me, this episode, the Ghost Monument, was kind of like Marinus for the 21st century.
It is the sea. It's beautiful. Grandfather, I wonder where we are.
Well, one thing's sure. We're not at South End.
Sea of Ashes. You know, in all my travels, I've never come across anything like this before.
For the sake of all my people, you must find the keys for me.
Stop me! Go away!
Don't you dare come near me!
He's alive! Oh, he's alive!
The whole place is one big booby trap.
Please, I only want to help you.
No!
The murderer without any doubt in this chamber.
Kill her.
Ian.
Kill her.
When the final key is inserted, my power is absolute.
It's coming again. The jungle is coming. When the whispering starts, it's death, I tell you. Death.
So if you want to check out some influences from original Doctor Who way back in 1963, go and check out The Keys of Marinus. It is out on DVD, Blu-ray, I'm sure, and you can probably find it at iTunes or wherever you can find BBC shows that they sell online for streaming. So definitely check that out.
I am going to recommend for New Who, Voyage of the Damned, which is the first appearance of Wilf, or first appearance, rather, of Wilf.
It is, too.
And it likens back to some of the same themes that we're seeing with epic destruction, technology colliding with...
greed.
Earth, yeah.
And colliding with greed. There was a lot of greed in this episode, too. Yeah, Voyage of the Damned. It's a Christmas episode, but you can watch it any time. It's fun. Kylie Minogue's in it. I can't recall who wrote it. I think it was Russell T. Davies.
It was Russell T. Davies.
So definitely check that out. All right. Well, that's all we've got. 10 out of 10 for the Ghost Monument from us here at the TARDIS Blend. Right now, in our little recording world, we are about to sign off this episode and begin recording the next one.
Yes.
You'll get to hear, after you hear this episode, our review of Rosa will be posted sometime tomorrow, and then hopefully we'll be back on track. I do want to get to comments, because we have two comments, and one of them is Transmet Trav. He was really nice. He said, hi, guys. Greg, are you okay? You sounded a wee bit under the weather on the last podcast. Yes, I was, sir. Hope you pull through and get well real soon. Trav, it's an ongoing issue for me right now, but I've had some improvements, and that's good to know. And so I really appreciate the remark there. I know you've been following us for many years, and you're one of our staunchest supporters, which we really appreciate. So absolutely, thank you very much. We probably won't get to any comments reacting to Rosa or this episode on the next one. We will have to wait for that, but we will cover them if you leave one. The other one I want to leave here is left by a chap called Cormac, and it's a little long, but I thought his comment was really thoughtful about some of the things we brought up last episode. And he says, amazing start to the season. Bradley Walsh has a much stronger role in episode 2, and the Doctor's reaction to her new TARDIS is a joy to behold. I so want a collectible of the spinning glass TARDIS from the console. Quick point on your
I do too.
Yeah. Quick points on your concerns around the day move. Remember, we talked about how it was moved from Saturday to Sunday. In the UK, Saturday night on terrestrial TV is a minefield. Having Doctor Who compete for time with Strictly Come Dancing, our version of Dancing with the Stars, on BBC One, and up against ITV reality talent shows, X Factor is still huge here, was taking its toll on viewing figures. Sunday evening is a very much family time on BBC One. Dramas and shows for the family to sit down and watch are a staple, so Doctor Who is really a good fit. I totally agree with your comment about the changes in the time slot during the classic Who run, but I think this is a genuinely good move this time. The first few episodes have a consistent start time, the first episode only being earlier due to its extended length, and the viewing figures for both episodes 1 and 2 are really strong. Yes, absolutely, we should bring that up. The Ghost Monument almost matched the first episode, 9 million viewers. So that's pretty good. Cormac finishes. We'll see how the rest of the season pans out, but so far the change of time slot appears to be paying off. And I'm going to have to say to you cautiously, but, you know, optimistically early, I think I'm beginning to agree with you about that, Cormac, and we really appreciate the fact that you took the time to leave a really thoughtful comment about the stuff we were discussing and your thoughts about the first couple of episodes. So thank you very much, guys. We appreciate that, and we'll look at some comments a couple of episodes from now. But right now, we're done. I'm Greg Davies, and I'm here with...
I'm Keridar.
And we will catch you next time for our review of Rosa right here at geeksofdoom.com.
Those are excellent nose hairs.